Come, bless the Lord. I trust and hope that's what you've come for. I know that's what the Lord has come for, is to bless us. What if we can all stand? Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I welcome you in your holiness. So welcome in your holiness, for you are so holy. So absolutely holy. I welcome you in your infinite mercy, for we so need it. I welcome you in your love, in your power. You are wonderful. Holy Spirit, manifest yourself to as many hearts as you can find open. Manifest yourself, make yourself so real, your presence even real. In the abundance of your grace, because without you, truth cannot flow. For you are the Spirit of truth. And unless you are present, and unless you are flowing from heart to heart, truth cannot flow. Only cold figures and facts. And citations, scriptures, because you are truth. You alone can illuminate hearts. You can take one word and make it so real until lives are changed by just one word. You can speak, and understandings are open. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God. We need your anointing, Holy Spirit, to be able to speak and to be able to hear. Give us to recognize, Lord, our inability to function in the truths of the Spirit without your Spirit. Let there be a call in every heart, O Spirit, anoint me to hear. Open my ears. Let me understand you a little bit more. Your ways make more clear. Because you have come to change us. But you'll change us by your truth. Spirit of the living God, what can we do without you? Lord, you wrote it, spoke it for us, let it be written for us. Without you, we can do nothing. We cannot hear, we cannot speak effectively. We cannot pray, we cannot praise acceptably. We are finite creatures of the dust. And only by the anointing and power of your Holy Spirit, in infinite, infinite condescension, moving through these bits of clay to do wondrous works of grace and mercy and love. And you are so beautiful. Your holiness is beautiful. I'm so thankful you're so holy. I'm so thankful there is no dark spot in thee, nor in the eternal Son whom you came to glorify, nor in the Almighty Father. I love your holiness. I long for it. I call for it. I hunger for it. You are transformed more and more into your image. Bless us, Lord. Bless us. For we need thy blessing, thy true blessing. Not just to feel good. Not just to have a moment of excitation or inspiration, but have the powerful changing forces that you alone can bring to change us. With the light that you alone can bring to illuminate us. Glorify that lovely one whose name is Jesus, who too is so holy, and lived in the midst of this filthy earth, and his holiness could not be defiled. So unlike us, but all the powers of hell and the systems and wickedness of the world, try as they might, could not besmirch your holiness. It was so powerful, so strong, that any spot that splattered upon you evaporated immediately. It could not stay. It could not sting. It could not affect you. You are so wonderful. Put in our hearts, Lord, that longing, that desire to become like you. That even while we're here in this filthy earth, more and more our garments will be kept spotless. Even though through constant washing with the blood of the Lamb, yet spotless, that in turn we might glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Please come to be with us. Just because you love us. You may be seated. We're going to look at some scriptures. I want to talk about the blessing of the Lord. The song was, "Come Bless the Lord." Well, we're going to speak on blessing, but God blessing us. The word to bless, or blessed, is used 288 times in the Old Testament. and 104 times in the New Testament. That's about over 370 times. There's a great desire in God to bless His people. Numbers 24:1. When Balaam was hired by Balak to come and curse the people of God, and he tried to, he couldn't do it. There was no way he could find a single way to curse God's people. And so he ends up saying in Numbers 24:1, Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. It pleased the Lord to bless Israel. Didn't please Him to curse them. Didn't please Him to leave them to their own devices. It didn't please Him to leave them at the merciless will of the devil. It did please Him to bless His people. One thing I want you to understand. God wants to bless. And the blessing will go on in this subject perhaps for a while. We'll see it's very broad. Very broad in all ways. Physically, spiritually, materially, mentally, financially. In every way, not just in certain ways or some mystic spiritual way. He wants to bless. His desire, it pleases God. It gives Him pleasure to be able to bless His people in any way that He's able to bless them. Now that's the heart of God. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us, what? All things. That's the heart of God. The heart of God isn't to restrict. The heart of God isn't a self-centered thing. The heart of God isn't trying to look for His own benefit. He wants to benefit His creatures in every way He can. In every way that we are able to receive or capacitated to receive. And I read in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He doesn't add any sorrow to it. It's a pure blessing. It's a pure blessing. He wants to bless. That must understand as a basic tenet, a basic principle in the Creator Himself. Jesus said, even to the wicked, God blesses them. He causes His rain to fall on the crops of the worst blasphemer out there. He causes the sun to shine on the garden of rich or poor, doesn't He? Blessing. He desires to bless. That's His heart. There is no ill. There is no injury. There's no hurt in man that brings God pleasure. He taketh no pleasure in the death of His saints, we read. He takes pleasure in blessing us, I read. He wants to bless. He just wants to bless. I've heard many people say, well, He doesn't want to bless me. Look what I've done, or or the devil tells you that, or your own conscience tells you that. But the scriptures do not tell me that. And the Spirit of God does not tell me that. If he will bless the wicked with their crops every year, if he'll bless the wicked in their businesses and cause them to prosper, and many times only to their own destruction because they don't know how to handle blessings. But he's determined to bless. And because of his blessings, our world is enriched. It's enriched in many ways. Many of us are alive today because the world has been enriched by the blessing of medical knowledge. We would be dead otherwise. Do you know that? The average lifespan of man has, in the last few years, the last not even century, has raised from about 45 to almost 75. Many of us are past 45, aren't we? Not because they've done so much good. Not because the doctors have so pleased God. But because it pleases God to bless. And as soon as he can bring us to a point to receive a blessing, he will pour it out. He will release it. One thing very spectacular, a blessing that's come, is the knowledge of antibiotics. And it came by accident, but came three places in the world at once, in three different nations, by accident. Isn't it interesting? And many other things, if you investigate them, you'll find that it's the same thing. And when it came time for that blessing to be given to mankind, and they were able to handle it and able to receive it, he poured it out. I said when they were able to handle it and receive it. Because I have been in nations where through the power of money, they were able to buy a blessing that another nation had produced and enjoyed. And when they got it, they couldn't handle it. And didn't know what to do with it. They weren't ready to receive it. I remember way back when I was my first pastorate. I was pastoring in an Indian reservation. And the Indians had been given a reservation that was quite wealthy in resources. And so these Indians had plenty of money. And it's very interesting. They would have a brand new refrigerator. I never put anything in it. They would have a washing machine sitting on their porch and wash with a scrub board. Never used it. And I could go on and on like that. They really did. They didn't even know how to use the blessing. Or particularly care about it. They worked that way forever. All their lives. Why not go on? God loves to bless. It pleases God to bless. And the blessing God makes rich and has no sorrow. Now, the blessing that those Indians had didn't make them rich or made them poor. And give them any joy either because they didn't know how to use it. Or if to use it. But God doesn't give those kind of blessings. But God loves to bless. That's basic. All through the scripture. Almost 400 times it speaks of the blessing of God in one way or another. That word is used. It's amazing, isn't it? That often. That often. And so we're going to look at the blessing of God a little bit. A little bit tonight, perhaps some other night. Lord willing. And there's some strange forms of blessing. Blessings sometimes we don't recognize as blessings. Nevertheless, they are blessings. The blessings of God can come in many packages. They can come in many forms, many ways. But they are from Him. And the end thereof always it maketh rich and adds no sorrow therewith. But I want us to go to another scripture now. Number 623. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. Now, not going into that blessing tonight. It's very lovely and quite complete. But he said, I want my ministry. I want my ministers. I want them to bless my people. To pronounce in faith and pronounce in the operation of the Holy Spirit. To pronounce a blessing upon them. To carry a blessing from me to the people. I want them to do that. I want them to bring blessing to my people. I want them to bring encouragement. To bring comfort, to bring guidance, to bring light, to bring life, to bring the operating powers of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want them to bring them to my people. I want to bless my people. I want my people to be blessed. I want them to enjoy the blessing. I want them to have a life that's blessed. I want them to have a life that's blessed their whole lifetime. And there are those that will have a lifetime blessed. And yet there's so many that have a pretty rough lifetime, don't they? Pretty rough lifetime. But I want you to know something. That doesn't give God any pleasure. It does not give God pleasure. He might have caused it. And sometimes it will be a blessing in disguise. But nevertheless, whatever he brings will always be a blessing. Even when he chastises. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, therefore of all art partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Is that right? Afterwards comes the blessing. Afterward comes the reward. Afterwards. David looked back. And he said, I was chastised as a green bullock that didn't know how to work. But he found out it taught him how to work. It taught him the right way. And so God desires to bless his people. There's one more scripture in Matthew 5:11 to show you one of the blessings in disguise. We're not going deeply into it, just to touch it. Blessed are ye. Blessed are ye. I want you to notice that because you might think it's misprinted there. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. How about that? Verse 10, just before it. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm sure most of you never considered that a blessing, did you? When people talk about you, I mean, I've had many people come to me in tears. So-and-so said this about me. And if I rejoice and jump for joy and say, hallelujah, I think they'd be very disappointed in me. right? And so I don't disappoint them that much. I try my best to be sympathetic and rejoice inside. Blessed are ye. You see, sometimes we think blessings are the only things going to make us tickle us and make us feel good. But God has blessings that are rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh, what is it? What's that verse saw in Proverbs 10:22? The blessing of the Lord maketh what? Is it rich or is it miserable? I think it's rich, isn't it? Yeah. Make us rich. Now, underline that. It's spelled R-I-A-R-I-C-H. Not M-I-S-E-R-A-B-L-E. Get the spelling right there. He enriches us. He doesn't just tickle us. We might enjoy it. Or we might not enjoy it. But He is enriching. He is enriching. God wants to bless His people. And as a wise parent, He knows how to properly bless His people. And as unwise kids, we don't know how to be properly blessed. And most kids I know would all eat their whole meal on ice cream if their papa and mommy let them. And skip the veggies. At least most kids I know, including me when I was a kid. Now I only eat the dessert first when they let me. And so we go on. Speak unto Aaron and his sons, then saying, bless ye the children of Israel. Then we go on from there. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Now, this is Psalms 115, verse 13. Now we begin to touch some conditions. We've made the statement that God wants to bless us, and every one of your minds has come with the question, well, why doesn't He then? I read your mind sometimes. How come I'm not blessed? Why am I not blessed like so-and-so? Well, let's look at the first condition. He will bless them that what? Fear the Lord. That fear the Lord. Incidentally, what is the fear of the Lord? Proverbs tells us that. I think it's Proverbs 8. First, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to what? What is it? Hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Because God hates it, first of all. And the reason He hates it, He knows what damage it's going to do. He knows what sometimes irreparable damage it does, which we call consequence. And He hates it because He loves us. He wants us to be blessed. And He knows very well that in no way is it possible for evil to bring us a blessing. He knows we can never be blessed by an evil. It is impossible for sin to bless. The wages of sin is what? Death. And He takes no pleasure in death. That's His enemy. So He hates it. And as I fear the Lord and respect Him and love Him in reverential fear, I too will begin to find myself saying with David, I hate your enemies, God, I hate them with a perfect hatred. What's against you is against me. What's against you, I'm against. And I'll fight it. I'll be against it. It'll become my enemy. Just as I become his enemy, according to James, if friendship of the world is what? Friendship of the world constitutes me an enemy of God, doesn't it? And God can't bless his enemies in many ways, only in a few ways. Like he pours out the sun and the rain upon their crops in different ways. But so many things he cannot bless them. But I do read that he will bless them that fear the Lord, small or great. The blessing of God will be upon those people. And then I read, and we touched it the other night, Sunday I think it was, in Proverbs 22:9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. Remember we were talking about the inversion? The introverted, nature of man? Everything pulling to self, everything wanting to receive. Believe in our prayers or give me prayers. We got inverted in the Garden of Eden. To the lust of the flesh of appetite. I want to eat that fruit. And Adam, for the lust of his wife. He knew that if he ate it, he'd lose her. He says, I don't want to lose this beautiful piece of cake, I thought. So he ate too. And we became inverted. It's more important to receive than give. That's the world's motto, isn't it? Look out for number one. You hear that one, don't you? You owe it yourself. You've heard that a few times, haven't you? And yet God said it's more blessed to receive than give, didn't he? Amen? No? Well, I guess my Bible is different from yours. What does your Bible say? More blessed to give than to receive. The giving one's born to be blessed. And we went over this last Sunday. I'll just repeat it a few moments. And that is that give and it shall be given to you. Is that right? You're going to be blessed if you're a bountiful heart. If it's an outflow instead of an intake. You know what happens to water that has an intake and no outflow? It'll get stagnant, won't it? Or else, like the Dead Sea, it'll go dead. It'll get salty and more salty. Then nothing can live it. Because it's a great intake. The intake of the Jordan River. But there's no outlet. Now, the same Jordan River flows into the Sea of Galilee. It's rich because it flows on through. There's an intake and there's an outlet. And we can't intake without getting dead inside. Unless we have an outflow. Some way. There has to be. We got inverted. And God said to Peter, when you are converted, bless your brothers. You know what he said? We got inverted. Everything got turned around backwards in the Garden of Eden. And it stayed that way. The bountiful heart, the one that gives, he's going to give, he's going to receive more and more, and then you're going to have more and more to give. Isn't he? And then you're going to receive more and more because he gave more and more. And hey, that's a snowball. It gets big, doesn't it? It gets bigger and bigger, doesn't it? You're going to have more to give. And that's not only with finances, and it works in finances. But it's with every aspect of life. Give of your time. Give your effort. Give of the blessings you have received. Whether spiritual blessings. Whether natural blessings. Give out of your time. Give out of your effort. Give out of your strength. Some of you, I think, are learning that. We have a lot of volunteers working hard around here, don't we? And I'm sure if you check back, you'll find that it hasn't made you poor. It hasn't made you poor. It makes rich. And God gives back in so many ways. So many things just seem to go right instead of going wrong. There's just no way that we can keep up with God. The blessing of God will pour into the heart, the bountiful heart. He says, the bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread. And then we have another one. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Trust. You know, that's faith extended. We have faith to receive from God. But when God doesn't do it right away, you just trust and know it's going to work out. So you just trust the Lord and wait. And it joins with hope. He says, that's a blessed man. That's a blessed. Blessed's a man that trusts and hopes. We just trust God. You know, one of the ways, one of the finest ways to lose a blessing of God is say, I thought God touched me. I felt so released and I felt so free. But then that pain came back. And as soon as you say, I thought God did, but that's where you lose it. That's where you lose it. Because that's where trust fails to come in and faith is ending. We believe God until the first inconvenience. Or believe God until in our minds we give God 3 days. And sometimes we'll give him 35 minutes. And if it doesn't happen in those 35 minutes, well, that's it. But when God has given his word, and you know he's spoken it, and you know it's true, you just trust and wait and hope and watch it happen. I know when God spoke to us about the coming revival in Argentina, he spoke to us in 1951. There were about 50 people there. When God spoke it and made it very clear, very plain. But 1951 passed, nothing happened. And then the enemies didn't like it anyway. They had a chance to get their licks in. And in one way or another, going into a long story, it ended up that by the time 2 years had gone by, there were only two left that dared to say, I believe God. Even the man that the angel came to, he came to my house one day. I want to tell you something. I don't believe anything of it. He said it was all of the devil. I said, Alec, I don't think you say that. I think you're quoting somebody. But if you do, I want you to know something. I still believe. I know God spoke. It'll just be a matter of time. And incidentally, it's only about 6 months more till it happened. But it's 2 years and a half. Blessed is a man that trusts. You know God said it. He quickened it to you. He confirmed it to you. And it doesn't happen. You know, it pleases God when you just trust him and keep on walking. You just trust him and go on as if nothing had happened. And it hasn't happened. And yet in the heavenlies it happened. I'm sure you've heard the story of Dr. Price. And I know I told it once or twice myself. And that is, in Albany, Oregon, many years ago, when Dr. Price was often speaking in the CAP meetings, there's a woman that was healed of goiter. She had a large one. I mean, very, very obvious. And all the inner manifestations, the choking, the hard breathing, and so on, all disappeared. But there it was, just as big as ever. And she testified the Lord's healing. Of course, no one believed it. The next year, at the same camp meeting, same place, she stood to her feet and gave a testimony how wonderful it had been, how free she had been since the Lord had healed her the year before, and there was a goiter bigger than ever. And the next year, 2 years, at the same camp meeting, same place, just 2 years later, she again stood to her feet and gave a glowing testimony of how happy and how free she'd been these 2 years since God had healed her of this goiter. And there it was, bigger than ever. Until finally people went to her and said, "For God's sake, shut your big mouth. You're just a confirmation. When God took a rib out of Adam, he made a loudspeaker." Didn't know God began the radio right back there, did you? Shut your mouth. You're being a disgrace to the church. She went home, where she was staying at least, so grieved, so hurt. She stood there, stood in front of her mirror, looked at it, said, "Lord, I know what you've done, and I believe it. But people won't believe me. Won't you take this thing away so they will know?" Next morning, it was gone. Absolutely gone. Blessed is he that trusteth, whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord, he hopes in God. That's a blessed man. That's a man that's going to receive the blessings of God. You see, we say, "Well, why doesn't God bless me?" I'm just going to touch a few little reasons. There'll be more, but a few little reasons. Why? How many blessings have been lost because we didn't trust long enough or through some trial and let go of our faith and got discouraged? Or perhaps worse than discouraged, full of self-pity, or full of resentment, or full of bitterness, and lost what God had given. And many times in his great grace and love, desire to bless, he'll come and renew it. And renew the word, and renew our faith. And oftentimes we'll still let go again. The blessed man is the one who's going to trust God. And he walks, his hope is in the Lord. His hope is not in the flesh. He knows God's going to be faithful. He knows the nature of God is faithfulness. The nature of God is to keep his word. The nature of God is truth. He cannot lie. I can misunderstand, and sometimes like Samson, I have done it also. I don't mean like Samson, like Gideon. And say, "Well, Lord, how about another confirmation here? I thought this was true, and I believed you, but things are going just the opposite direction. Would you give me another word?" And oftentimes he has. And he certainly did to Gideon, didn't he? He confirmed it again. But Gideon's life was on the line, and the life of 300 people following was on the line. So he came back once more and said, "God, please, how about one more confirmation? Because tomorrow, I don't want the media. I don't want all these people running away and saying, 'See, read about the defeat of Gideon and his stupid 300. How about another confirmation, God?" He gave it, didn't he? But he was still trusting, wasn't he? God was very gracious with us. But oh, blessed is the man that trusteth, whose hope is in the Lord. Because then the blessings can flow. Then the blessings can come on through. And the things God has desired to do can be received and can be walked into. You say, well, why it has to be that way? Because that's the way God chose to bless that individual at that time. That's why God chose to speak to us in 1951 and not in 1954 when it happened. I don't know why. I just know that's rather usual with God. That's not an unusual way for God to work. He calls us just to trust Him. He cannot lie. He's God. He's the God of truth. He spoke it. And I get the confirmation. I get the enlightenment. I get the quickening. I get the life quickening in my heart. I get the anointing to confirm that word. Okay, it'll work out some way. He's going to do it. He said He would. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 59:1. Behold, take a look at this. Take a good long look at it. The Lord's hand isn't short. You know, God never had an amputation. His hand's just as long as it ever was. That it cannot save. And the ear isn't heavy. I know He's the Ancient of Days, but He's still here just as well. I'm getting old, I can't hear as well. But that's not God's problem. And He says it's not His problem. He says His ear isn't heavy that it cannot hear. His arm isn't short. His hand can reach out any place. His ear isn't heavy. He said, that's not the problem. You see, we like to blame God. We pray. We can pray up a storm. And we can pray with our whole heart in it. And nothing happens. And then we do it all over again. But I want to tell you something. He told Daniel, if you prayed for 21 days, he said, I heard you the first day. Didn't he? It wasn't wrong to go on praying. Don't misunderstand me. But his ear was still listening, wasn't it? He heard it. Well, he had some things to do to let Daniel go on praying, because if he hadn't let Daniel pray, who knows what Daniel might have done. And it's not a bad idea for him to keep us praying one way or another. Because if we didn't have a few things to bother us, we wouldn't pray at all. I mean, a good shepherd, at least nowadays, I don't know in those days, I don't know about it, but I know in our days, a good shepherd has to have a good sheepdog if he's running many sheep. You know, they don't bite them, but they sure keep them moving. God has to keep us moving one way or another. But his ear isn't heavy that it can't hear. That's the point. He knows. But then he goes on in verse 2. But something's happened. Something's happened. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Iniquities have separated between you and your God. Did you see that? Something's happened. Something's brought a separation. Now God isn't able to bring the blessing He's intended or desired, because something has brought a separation. Something has put a wall there. God desires to bless, and there is the wall. It could be a wall of unbelief. That's one of our iniquities. A wall of fear. A wall of suspicion. A wall of disobedience. It's separated. It's brought a separation. And therefore, he can't hear us. He can't move for us. In fact, I read in Psalms that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It doesn't say cannot. It says He will not. He purposes to shut His ear. Just like we do sometimes. We determine not to listen. And He determines not to listen. Because there's a reason. Sure, why am I not blessed? Well, there's reasons why we're not blessed. The blessings are inhibited, and the blessings are separated from us, and they can't get through to us. And I want to go to one more scripture tonight. Well, let's repeat, let's finish this one. Your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. And then one more, John 8, 29. The words of Jesus. He that sent me is with me. He that sent me is with me. The Father is with me. I and He are not separated. There is no wall. There is no separation. There is nothing that keeps us apart. All the blessings of God came upon Him because there was nothing to keep them away. There was no way that they were kept away. And so He said, He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Well, there's a reason too. So often there's reason for things, isn't there? What is the reason? I do always those things that please Him. I do always those things that please Him. 1 John 3:22. You've heard me quote it many times. Everything we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do the things that please Him. There's no wall. There's no separation. There's nothing that keeps His blessings from flowing. As we move into the fear of the Lord, which is to hate evil, as we move into trust and faith, as we move into hearing His word and opening our hearts to Him, and we move away more and more from that separation, and we begin to move close and walk close with God, blessings just seem to flow your way. They just seem to come. This works out right for you, and people get angry. I've had people tell me how disgusted they were, how upset they were, because so-and-so got blessed, and they tried the same thing, and there was no blessing. It all worked out backwards. And they've tried the same thing. And even try to stand on the same scripture. They hear someone tell a testimony how God healed them and gave them that word. You say, well, that's a wonderful word. That inspires me. I'll grab that scripture too. And I stand on that too. And all it does, you just stand on it and it's an elevator going down. I do the things that please Him. He's always with me. There's no separation. No separation. I want to tell you something. The blessed life is a glorious life. The more you can move into it. Maybe we'll take the Sermon on the Mount one of these moments. And just look at it. Blessed, 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 blessed. The pure in heart, they that mourn, and so on. The merciful. Isn't that right? And I mean, God's blessings are enriching. They are enriching. Blessed is a man. Blessed is a man that gets converted. Blessed is a man that isn't always looking for himself and what he can receive and how he can be benefited and how he can be blessed. Blessed is a man that's bountiful. Blessed is a man that doesn't restrain his mercies. There is that which withholdeth and tends to poverty. The Bible says, isn't it? There's that withholdeth that tends to poverty. God wants to bless His people. God desires to. He loves to. He pleases Him to bless Him. And the more He can, the more He's happy. He's not unhappy when He gives you things or when He allows you to obtain something. It doesn't make Him angry. I know some very blessed people that are quite rich as far as the natural world is concerned. That doesn't make God unhappy. There's other things that keep Him. Why doesn't God bless me? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why does God bless these people, not me? the blessing of the Lord, it flows out. It's like the sun shines and shines and shines. Well, it never shines on me. Well, then move to Georgia. It shines half the time here, doesn't it? Oh, I got clouds. Yeah, I know those kind of places too. I've been there. There's a cloud cover over Lima, Peru that never disappears for 6 months at a time. But I didn't live in Peru, in Lima. I moved away. But you know, right outside of Lima, you go right upside the mountain, you get up the mountain, the sun's shining fine. It's quite a mystery. Scientists have studied it. Don't know why it's there. It's just there. And a lot of people live in Lima. In fact, I think a lot of Christians live in Lima. Under the cloud cover. They never get up in the mountains. The sun's shining. Well, it doesn't shine in my house. It doesn't? No. Why not? I don't know. So I go to your house and see it. Every window shuttered. Doors locked. No windows open. Oh, yeah, you have a time with getting sunshine in here, don't you? But you know, you can shutter your house, or your windows, your doors, all you want to. And there's one thing you're not going to do is stop the sun from shining. It's going to shine. It's going to shine. And even when it's dark over here, it's shining over there. It's just going to shine, isn't it? God is going to bless. If you don't get into that blessing, well, then find out why. Find out why. Why is it, Lord, my work's not blessed? Why is it that my finances aren't blessed? Why is it that my home isn't blessed? Why is it my children aren't? Why is it? And sometimes it's not a case of iniquity. Remember, I've read you some other things. Sometimes it's just persecution, isn't it? He's asking us to go through some things for His glory. Sometimes it's just chastisement. So we'll learn better, learn how to walk with God better. Sometimes there's a wall of separation. It pleases God to bless His people. And at other times we're going to look into what that blessing gives. But just now, just the very purpose of God is to bless us. And you can't open your heart to receive more than it pleases God to give you. You can't open your faith to receive more than God would be pleased to give you. God long ago, long ago learned, before we ever came onto the scene, before the angels, I think, ever came on the scene, He learned that wonderful law. Give, and it shall be given to you. He gave His Son. The greatest gift that was ever given. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. What comes back? Millions, countless millions that will stand and glorify Him forever and say, thank you, Jesus. Isn't there? It came back, didn't it? And we are the reward of His sacrifice. And we'll praise Him forever. And we'll tell as far as we can proclaim the wonders of God. We'll spend a long time in eternity just telling of all the blessings and the wonders God has done in our life. And we'll have perfect memories to remember them all. And what a story that will be. What stories will be lifted up in that day because of the blessings of God that have made us so rich, so rich. And I wonder if not even the angels were almost envious for the glory of it. Father, You're so good. You are so good. You're just outflowing. You're never trying to build up for yourself. You don't need it anyway. You have everything. It all belongs to You. You made it. But it pleases you to pour out blessing. It pleases you to bless and bless and honor and to lift and to inspire and to anoint and to enrich. It pleases you. Lord, so often I've not given you that pleasure. So often I've said, oh no, I'll fight it out my own way. And so often to my own soul. So often I've been afraid of your blessing. So often I said, well, if I really open up and let you have my life and give you my life, you'll just take it. So I never give it. I'm afraid. And all the rich harvest of blessing, of a life that like a seed is planted, it brings forth abundantly, I lose it. And someday some will cry like Esau cried to his father Jacob. Oh, isn't there some blessing for me? No. Your brother got it. There's none for you. You despise your birthright given to another. Lord, let there be a trust in you and your ways until there's a spirit of giving. First of all, giving our life in surrender to you. Let the blessedness of the hunger and thirst after righteousness, not the love of evil, but the love of righteousness, will be blessed people. Let there be giving hearts. My life isn't my own anyhow. You made it. You purchased it. It belongs to you. Why do I think it's mine to give? But you put it into my hands and said, will you give it to me? You said, son, daughter, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Lord, I want your blessing. I covet your blessing. I need your blessing. Only your blessing is worth anything. The blessings that the world gives quickly tarnish and perish. The blessing that man gives goes down into the grave. But your blessings are eternal. And you want to bless your people. Put in our hearts, Lord, the cry of Jabez. Oh, that thou wouldst bless. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and keep me from evil. And you heard that prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. For your blessing makes rich. And it doesn't bring any sorrow. Holy Spirit. We've blamed you for not blessing us. We've been angry at you at times. We've been jealous of others with your blessing. We've been envious and said, why did you bless them? Look who they are, what they do. Why don't you bless me? I'm better than that. But you are true. You are honest. You love to bless. But you want to enrich with your blessing. Not bring any sorrow. So Holy Spirit, put a cry in our hearts. Bless me, O Lord. Bring me to a place where you can bless me. Till every separation, every wall is torn down. Every defense I've built up against you, done away with. my suspicions, my unbelief, my fears, my doubts are all swept away. My heart cries, cause me to please you. Cause the walls of evil and iniquity to be torn down. Let me not be separated from you. Let me walk close to you. That your blessing may flow. For I confess, Lord, it is not you. Any blessing I lose or fail to receive is not your fault. I absolve you. I declare your righteousness and your goodness. But bless me, O Lord. Shall we stand to our feet? Forgiveness is a blessing. Regeneration is a blessing. Tremendous blessing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a tremendous blessing. The anointing of God is a tremendous blessing. Are they yours? Are they yours? Are those blessings yours tonight? To be able to walk with Him with no wall between. Oh, what a blessing. Is it yours tonight? You know, you can have it. If you don't feel that your sins are forgiven, He's ready to forgive as soon as we confess. You know, one of the blessings of the Lord, you'll read in the book of Acts, is to turn us. Acts 3 is to turn us from our iniquity. One of His blessings. Maybe you need that blessing tonight. And as we sing, God is good. If you're needing a real blessing from God, He loves to bless. It pleases Him to bless. Whether your need is to be blessed with forgiveness, whether your need is to be blessed with a conversion, whether your need is to be blessed with a wonderful filling of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. I invite you to come with a prayer of Jabez. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless me. That Thou wouldst bless me. That Thou wouldst bless me. Keep me from evil. Tear down my walls. Open my heart. Lift up my faith. Forgive my fears and doubts. Unbelief. Search my heart and see if I'm regarding sin, so you can't hear me. Oh, God is good. God is good. God is good. I'm not going to do your praying for you. You just do your own. He's your God. He's everyone's God. Call out to Him. He's good. He loves to bless. It pleases Him to bless. Oh, He's so good. He's so good. I will trust Him and not be afraid. I will trust Him, for He never lies. I will trust